Good morning. Today is Tuesday, May 21st, 2024, and the time is 10:04 a.m. This is the public rulemaking hearing for Washington Administrative Code WAC 458-20-13501, titled Timber Harvest Operations. My name is Brenton Madison. I am the department's rules coordinator. I'm with the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division, and I am the facilitator for this hearing. Also in attendance from the Department of Revenue are Tiffany Doe, a tax policy specialist in the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division, and the primary rule drafter for this rulemaking engagement. Kathy Holder, management analyst, who will be monitoring our recording equipment as this hearing is being recorded. Barbara Imperio, also a management analyst for, who will be assisting Kathy in the monitoring and recording equipment at this hearing. Paul Stewart, Forest Tax Field Operations Manager, is scheduled to join this hearing. I don't believe he has yet joined. And Ross Goodwin, Revenue Forester 4, is also scheduled to attend, but I don't believe has joined the hearing of yet. So we are conducting this public hearing remotely through Zoom. Participants are joined through Zoom as well as through telephone calls. We do not have other parties physically present for this hearing. Thank you for taking the time to attend this hearing and providing us with valuable feedback concerning the rulemaking activities for WAC 458-20-13501. Please note we are best able to consider your comments when you provide them to us in writing. Written comments should be sent to Tiffany Doe via email at tiffanyd, as in Delta, at dor.wa.gov. The legal authority for this hearing is from Chapter 34.05 RCW, also known as the Administrative Procedures Act. This hearing was announced through publication in the Washington State Register as WSR 24-09-052 on April 15, 2024, and by notification to interested persons. The purpose of this hearing is to solicit comments from the public prior to taking action to adopt proposed amendments to WAC 458-20-13501, referred to in this hearing as Rule 13501. Electronic copies of this rule are available on the department's website. If you did not receive a copy, please contact Tiffany Doe at tiffanyd@dor.wa.gov if you'd like a copy of the proposed rule. We emphasize that the rule draft as now written is provided for discussion purposes only. The rule as proposed is written in the legislative drafting style. Proposed new language is underlined, while proposed deletions to existing language are stricken through. We will consider any comments received pertaining to the possible adoption of Rule 13501. We appreciate receiving written comments and will evaluate all comments as we proceed with the rulemaking process. You may send written comments to Tiffany's attention no later than Friday, May 31st, 2024. In this manner, the department can fully consider your comments before proceeding with future rulemaking activities. Now, let me briefly outline the rulemaking process and where we are with respect to this rule. The first step in the process is to file a notice with the code reviser to announce a public meeting for solicitation of comments regarding possible adoption of the new rule. The notice, called a Form CR-101, is published in the Washington State Register and announced through mailings to interested persons. The public meeting for Rule 13501 was held on March 1st, 2023. The next step is to file a notice of proposed rulemaking with the code reviser to announce a public hearing on the proposed rule. This notice, called a Form CR-102, is also published in the State Register and announced through mailings to interested persons. The purpose of the hearing is to receive further public comments regarding the proposed adoption of the new rule. All public comments will be fully evaluated as we proceed in the rulemaking process. Any comments received will be included in the permanent rulemaking file kept by the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division. The public hearing for this rule is being held today, May 21st, 2024. The final step is to adopt the proposed rule. This is not a public process, but simply requires that the department submit the final draft of the rule to the code reviser with the appropriate forms. The revised rule will be effective shortly thereafter and will be published in the Washington State Register. Before opening the hearing for comments, I will briefly outline the proposed amendments to Rule 13501 that occurred following the public meeting. So the proposed amendments include several modifications related to the organization format of the rule, which are intended to improve the rule's readability and modernize the rule consistent with other rules within Chapter 458-20 WAC. The proposed amendments include modifications to existing rule language and examples throughout the rule, which are intended to clarify existing department policy. The following is a summary of changes to the proposed amendments following the public meeting held on April 11, 2023. And I will mention for purposes of the record, I misstated earlier when I explained the first step in the rulemaking process. I indicated that we held the public meeting on March 1st. In fact, the meeting was held on April 11th, 2024. Following that meeting, the summary of changes are the result of oral and written comments received by stakeholders during and following that meeting. Please note that this summary does not include all updates made to the proposed rule draft, just those that were of importance. So in subsection 2, timber harvesters, the following revisions to proposed rule amendments were made. In subsection 2A III, the proposed language was modified to clarify that a timber harvester, who is generally an extractor of timber, may also be a manufacturer as defined in RCW 82.04.110 if the harvester subsequently performs a manufacturing activity as defined in RCW 82.04.1201C. In subsection 2DI, the proposed language was modified to emphasize that the manufacturing portion of a timber harvest operation begins after standing timber has been extracted if the severed trees are subsequently measured, delimbed, and bucked at the manufacturing or harvest site. In subsection 2EI, example 1 was updated to clarify that when a harvester conducts both extracting and manufacturing activities, the harvester must report income under both the extracting and manufacturing B&O tax classifications, in addition to either the retailing or wholesaling B&O tax classification. Subsection 3, titled Extractors for Hire, was updated to clarify that extractors for hire must collect and remit retail sales tax on extracting for hire services, unless otherwise exempt by law. Example 3 under this subsection was also updated. Subsection 4, titled Processors for Hire, was updated to clarify that processors for hire must collect and remit retail sales tax on processing for hire activities, unless otherwise exempt by law. Examples 4 and 5 were also updated to provide clarification on the taxability and reporting requirements based on the existing facts provided within those examples. Subsection 6, titled Common Timber Sale Arrangements, was updated to include new subsections. Subsection 6A was included to explain when a timber sale arrangement is subject to B&O tax under RCW 82.04.26012D as it meets the definition of selling standing timber, or when the standing timber is required to be severed within 30 months from the date of the original contract. Subsection 6B was included to explain when a timber sale arrangement is subject to real estate excise tax, referred to as REIT, under RCW 82.45.010 and WAC 458-61A-113 as a sale, conveyance, or transfer of the ownership of or title to real property because the standing timber is not required to be severed within 30 months from the date of the original contract. Examples 9 and 10 were updated to explain the taxability and reporting requirements based on the existing facts provided within the examples. All right, subsection 7, titled Equipment and Supplies Used in Timber Harvest Operations, was also updated. Examples 11 and 12 under subsection 7A, titled Exemption Available for Certain Manufacturing Machinery and Equipment, were updated to further explain the requirements for the M&E exemption with respect to the equipment and machinery used in timber harvest operations. Example 11 was updated to clarify when yarding is a part of a manufacturing operation. Subsection 8, titled Seeds and Seedlings, was updated to further explain the record-keeping requirements in RCW 82.32.070. Subsection 9D, titled Sales of Firewood and Christmas Trees, was updated to clarify that sales of commercially traded firewood or naturally grown trees, including Christmas trees, are subject to timber excise tax under WAC 458-40-610 and 458-40-660. Subsection 14, titled Small Timber Harvesters Business and Occupation Tax Exemption, was updated to further explain the reporting obligations of small harvesters. Examples 19, 20, and 21 were updated to further explain the taxability of the activities based on the specific fact patterns provided within the examples. Additionally, the examples were updated to clarify that small harvesters who also engage in manufacturing activities are required to report under the extracting, manufacturing, and either the wholesaling or retailing B&O tax classifications. Like harvesters, small harvesters are eligible to claim a B&O tax credit when they engage in and report under multiple activities. This is commonly known as the Multiple Activities Tax Credit or the MATC. All right, that was the recap of the additional changes. So I just want to take this time to thank external stakeholders for the very thoughtful and detailed comments following the public meeting. This rulemaking has been a very intensive and a very large project. And I think the quality and success of the ultimate rule is based in large part on the comments we received from you. So thank you. At this time, we will now proceed to the comment portion of the hearing. Please note, we also appreciate receiving your testimony in writing. If you have written testimony, please submit your comments via email to tiffanyd@dor.wa.gov no later than Friday, May 31st, 2024, so we can consider those additional comments and consider whether additional amendments to Rule 13501 are necessary. Again, I want to mention that written comments are retained in the department's permanent rulemaking file for this rule, Rule 13501. So at this time, I will ask for the public to comment. So if you do have a comment, please use the raise hand feature within Zoom. In this way, we will know that you would like to comment. Once we call your name, if you could, please identify yourself for purposes of the record and the organization you are representing. So I will open the floor. John.
Yes, John Ehrenreich. I'm with the Washington Forest Protection Association. Organization of large and small timber landowners that own about 4 million acres in the state of Washington. I want to thank the department for all the work that you've done on this. So many of you have been involved in this, Tiffany and Paul and Ross and you, Brenton, and others have put a lot of work into this. And we really appreciate the product. It's a real touchstone, 13501, for harvesters to go to a good roundup. We appreciate all the changes and the clarifications and updates and so forth that you all have done. I did have two requests, and they're requests and they're additions, not really changes. One would be if we could add an example of how internal transfers of timber are taxed. So what I mean by this is where a company transfers to a wholly owned subsidiary the title to the timber. And the reason that would be helpful is that we've run across some problems in the past with auditors not understanding the two different statutes that you have to read together in order to understand the taxability. So for instance, an internal transfer of timber is an internal transfer of real estate. And that is exempt under 8245010 sub P, where an internal transfer of timber of real estate is not between wholly owned subsidiaries is not taxable. 8204334, or was it 333? I always get the two mixed up. Also exempts those that sort of a transaction from the B&O tax. And what we've had a problem with in the past is auditors have recognized the exemption from the REIT, but then required did not understand that the B&O exemption also applied. So this is actually a very common in the timber industry transaction where often a real estate investment trust, which is a federal tax designation, is not allowed to actually harvest timber, and they must transfer the timber from the REIT entity to the fully operational to fully taxable entity, which is a wholly owned entity. And in 2007, we set that up so that those transfers could take place free of both the B&O tax, exempt from both the B&O tax and the real estate excise tax. And it would be helpful if you could just insert a example to that effect. Most everything you have in there would cover that. So you did say that in the rule that anything that doesn't meet the definition in 8245010 is exempt from the REIT, but then there isn't a pointing to the B&O exemption, number one, and number two, even within the definition of a sale under the REIT, it's way down subsection P. And auditors have often missed that. And it would be helpful if you could put in. I understand we're kind of late in the game for that, but the second request I have would be if you could put in a clarification for how the forestry riparian easement program payments are taxed. Paul is probably familiar with the FRET program, and that is where there are payments made in to small harvesters for not harvesting their land. And the question is, how is that taxed from the state's perspective? I have to go back and check again with Mark Mullen, but when we first wrote that, expanded the exemption in 2007, the FRET program was already in place, and I'm pretty sure we intended that the B&O deduction, the first $100,000 deduction that's allowed for small harvesters, would include FRET payments. But going back and looking at that, I don't see it as being clear to that effect. And I've unfortunately lost all of my records from 2007. And I'm going to check with Mark Mullen just to make sure I'm remembering things properly. But it would be helpful if there was a section added in there that would clarify for small landowners. Small landowners don't necessarily have their own tax departments, as you can imagine. And they have to go around and they deal with their local CPA, and the CPAs may not be at all familiar with how FREP is taxed. And the question I really got is that the exemption refers to a harvest, and yet there's no actual harvest.
Right.
So, but I think it was meant to include the FRET payments. So,
okay. Thank you for both of those comments, John. Do you plan on submitting those in writing? I ask that because particularly with respect to the second comment, when we, as you know, when the public makes a substantive comment, we will respond. Part of our response could also, in this case, I would imagine it sounds like maybe there were discussions with stakeholders in the department, maybe back in the early 2000s. And so we can research as well any decisions or policy or interpretive decisions that were made with respect to those FRET payments and pass along that information.
I will get those. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you very much.
To Tiffany. Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jerry?
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to go on record indicating that I have provided written comments to example number 11, both the paragraph on facts and the paragraph on result for example 11. So I guess I just wanted to go on record noting that.
Yes. Thank you, Jerry. And we do intend to respond to those comments as well following this public hearing. So you can expect to receive a response from us shortly after this hearing, I would say in the next couple of weeks before we get to the stage of potential adoption.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Are there any other comments or testimony? All right, hearing none. I want again to thank everybody for both their participation and attendance at this hearing and also the tremendous participation we received from stakeholders with respect to this rule. And for that matter, the relationship and strength of discussion and ability to come up with rulemaking and good policy decisions in the area of timber and forest tax more generally. I know that's been one of the strong points of the Department of Revenue and our relationship with stakeholders. So I appreciate everybody's involvement. I want to thank everybody again. And for purposes of the record, I will note that the time is now 10:26 a.m. and the public hearing for Rule 13501 is now adjourned. Thank you, everybody.